abiding in Christ. Can you think of any hymns to talk about us abiding in Him?
Abide in me.
That's He abiding in me. Think about it. I couldn't think of any. I'm not saying there aren't any, but I couldn't think. There's all the songs I get, like Constantly Abiding, Abide in Me. There was another one I thought of too. I thought of at least three of them, but they were all about Jesus Christ abiding in us. Certainly that's an important truth. And, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, as it says in Colossians. But even more important, or well, maybe I shouldn't even say that too, but very important is the fact of me abiding in Him. I want to first talk about the life of Hudson Taylor. He was a missionary, lived from 1832 to 1905. He founded the China Inland Mission. He even before he was saved as a young child, he had this vision of reaching China for Jesus Christ. He didn't get saved until he was about 17, and I think it was about 23 when he finally first ventured into China as a missionary. But he started this mission, the China Inland Mission, and at his death, there were over 300 missionaries. In his lifetime, over 300 missionaries had gone to China under the China Inland Mission. Now there are over 800 missionaries serving under this mission board. He labored in the mission field for 51 years. There was times when he was back in England, back and forth, but a total of 51 years he labored as a missionary. And it's said of him that no other missionary since the Apostle Paul had a wider vision or carried out a more systematized plan of evangelizing a greater geographical area than Hudson Taylor. Many were influenced by his life and his ministry. Men such as C.T. Studd, who himself became a missionary to China. Eric Little. Y'all know who Eric Little is? Chariots of Fire fame, the runner in the Olympics back in the 20s, I think it was, that refused to run on Sunday. And the film Chariots of Fire was about him. Did he go to China? Or was he in, okay. Amy Carmichael, Jim Elliot, the missionary to the Aka Indians that gave his life there, and Billy Graham. These and a host of others' lives were influenced by the life of Hudson Taylor. But Taylor struggled at first as he went to the mission field. There were difficulties he experienced. He had trouble with the language. He was homesick. There were conflicts with other missionaries. Finances were rough. He had some health problems. And I'm not sure where in this, but I know over the course of his life, he lost a number of children and two wives on the mission field as well. But and not all of these things happened at this point. But many of these things had happened at this point, to the point where he was bitterly depressed. And then a fellow missionary sent him a letter referencing, and I may have sent him the book, Christ is All. And there was one passage from this book that gripped his heart. It said, the Lord Jesus received his holiness begun. The Lord Jesus cherished is holiness advancing. The Lord Jesus counted upon as never absent would be holiness complete. And the missionary then wrote this, try abiding, not striving or struggling. After that, he spoke to another missionary, and the missionary said that Hudson Taylor said this, God has made me a new man. He was saved already, but all the things had just weighed down upon him and caused him to be depressed. God made him a new man. As he began to understand the secret, and he wrote, I believe it was a book or a pamphlet or something, Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret, and it's about abiding in Jesus Christ. And again, yes, Christ in me, Christ abides in me, but that's only half of it. That's only the first half of it, because that takes place at my salvation. But the second half, and the half that can have the greatest effect upon our individual lives and walk with the Lord, is me abiding in Him. That's what changed Hudson Taylor's life to go on and serve 51 years as a missionary in the country of China, speaking a number of different of the Chinese dialects, ministering with over 300 other missionaries in his lifetime, suffering through the agony and the grief of children and wives dying on the mission field, and being able to do so with that joy unspeakable and full of glory by abiding in Christ. Anybody thought of any hymns yet about me abiding in Him? Isn't that strange? That we focus upon the first half of that and forget the second half. But I think too often times that's a testimony of our lives. We are saved. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We know that He is never going to leave me nor forsake me. We get that thing down. But we lack that second step of me then abiding in Him. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 38. And ye have not His word abiding in you, for whom He has sent, Him you believe not. That word needs to abide in us. That's where the thing starts. Go to John 15 now. John chapter 15, verse 4. Probably the most significant passage on this subject. Abide in me, and I in you. There's both of the concepts there in that phrase, in that this first part of the verse. But he first says, abide in me. I'm not saying his abiding in me, the abide in you, I abide in you, is contingent upon that. But he emphasizes that you need to abide in me. And that's what this passage in John 15 is all about. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I've got to abide in him. There's nothing that I can accomplish in and of my own strength. It's only as I draw from him, he's allowed to work through me by my abiding in him. Just like that branch being attached to the tree, drawing all its strength, drawing all its nutrients, drawing everything that it needs to sustain its life and to make it fruitful by abiding, fixed to Him. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Back in John 5:38, he talked about his word abiding in us. So he started out with, he was abiding in us, but I'm abiding in him. Now he's talking about me abiding in him and his words abiding in me, changing me, conforming me to that image of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Abiding in his love as well as abiding in him. Now jump over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, and him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. I believe if I abide in him, I will walk as he walked. You see, when I am not walking as he walked, I'm not abiding in him. I've begun choosing my own way and leaning on my own strength if I'm not walking as he walked. But the emphasis is not on how I walk. It's abiding in him, and I will walk as he walked. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So in John 15, it told us that we would bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit as that result of abiding in him. Here it tells me that as I abide in him, I have confidence. And I'll have nothing to be ashamed of at his coming if I'm abiding in him. Because I'm going to be walking as he walked. I'm going to be doing all that he desires of me. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. That secret place, the shadow of the Almighty. Abiding in him, that closeness with him, that his shadow is covering me. Fully within his protection. Walking as he desires me to walk. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So the talks about how he walks or how he doesn't walk, walking in the proper way, not walking in the wrong way. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's that word abiding in me. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The roots down deep along that river, reaching down into the moisture down there, that no matter how much drought there is, no matter how hard the wind's blowing everything, you still got the nourishment you need, drawing the strength that you need. In spite of all the hardships that Hudson Taylor suffered later on in his life, he was abiding and he was drawing that strength which sustained him, and not only sustained him, but helped him to be prosperous in the ministry which God had called him to do. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When he locked into that truth, it changed his life. When he put himself completely into the abiding relationship with God, he became prosperous. And on his tombstone are these words, "A man in Christ." That summed it up. That's what God wants of us, the abiding relationship. Hope that's a worthwhile challenge to you tonight. Have a letter.